Welcome to the podcast at Life Community Church in Gilbert, Arizona. To learn more about our church, visit us at lifecommunityaz.com or join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30. I hope you enjoy today's message.
Now, I know it's people that don't know you well. They think you're talking about money and they think, well, the church wants more of my money and that's all they want about money. And so if you've come to church in the last 4 weeks, and the only time you've ever been to church, you can honestly say, you know, it's all they do is talk about money. And I am talking about money, but I'm talking more than just money. I want to talk about balance. Who's ever known anybody that just made a boatload of money and ended up with nothing? Anybody know those kind of people? Maybe that's you. I mean, you know. Okay, and so the goal, the deal with money is not just to make more, but to have a financial balance in your life. I'm getting so good at this. Well, pride goeth before a fall. And you remember, let's see how long I can talk with this thing in the air. Letter A. The first thing about money is having a reference point. And that's know where your money goes. I had somebody, they're not here this morning, they came to me after I spoke that sermon, and they said, I'm glad you spoke on that. He says, I have no idea how much money I make. And I said, would you be my business partner? No, I didn't say that. I just a joke. The first part wasn't. And he says, I'm going to go find out how much I make. And I thought, that's a good idea. But it's amazing how some of us don't know what we make. We know they put money in our checking account, and it seems to be different often. But so the first thing is know where it's going. If you don't know where it's going, who's ever gotten a water bill that was about 3 times higher, and that's what dawned on you? You had a toilet leaking or running or an outside sprinkler running, and it dawned on you, I better fix this because it's not going to get any better. Who's ever had the toilet where you had to jiggle the handle, and you think, I ought to get around to this, I need to get around to this, and so one of those days you get a $50 or $100 water bill, and you think, I'm going to get around to it. And so the second thing is letter B, it's having an objective. Now, with your money, my objective with this little dollar sign is to keep it in the air. We talked about it at great length. Matter of fact, the whole sermon was spent on it. The objective for your money. And we went to 1 Chronicles, I think it was 29, where David said, Lord, it all belongs to you. It all comes from you. As he was giving $14 billion, with a B, dollars to build the temple. David said, Lord, I'd love to build you a temple. And God said, you're not the guy for it. My house is going to be a place of peace. It's going to be a place of safety. And David, you've killed a lot of guys. You're a man of war. And I don't want my house to be full of strife and conflict. I want my house to be a place of peace. So you're not going to do it, but your son is. And David says, well, if I can't do it, then I'll get somebody else that can. And I'll raise the money for it. Instead of picking up his marbles and going home, David did what he could to get things ready for it. And then the third objective, the second one is to honor God. Now honoring God doesn't mean just putting lots in the offering. Some people give really well, but they're terrible savers. They can give easy, but anytime they get some money, they either want to give it, they don't know how to save. Some people can save really well, but they can't spend. If you're one of those people that are a great saver and a lousy spender, I bet you're not that much fun to live with. You know, you spend an extra $1.49. Now we want you to be a little more careful next time. How many know that's just, but some people, they can save, but they can't spend. Some can spend. If somebody from another planet came and followed you for a month or so, and they asked you what your goal of your money was, I bet you somebody who did not know you well would say the goal of their money is to spend. Matter of fact, if you've got consumer debt, the truth of it is you're probably living on 110% of what you make. That's why you come up with debt. So what God is trying to do for all of us, he's trying to give us a balanced financial life. And that takes me to letter C, and the consistent, which requires consistent corrections. We talked about debt last week. And debt, you know what the golden rule is, don't you? He that has the gold rules. The Bible says that the borrower is a slave to the lender. And we live in the olden days, people in debt, oh, it's so bad, it's so sad, they're in debt. And now it's almost a status of what your FICO score is, by how much debt you can manage. And I think it's nuts. I don't think it's a balance, and it requires constant corrections. And I really want to be a world-class Christian. Do you? I really do. I'm not trying to rule the world. I want to be a world-class follower of Jesus. And that's going to require me to be able to save, spend, give, invest, loan. See, the Bible says that you're going to be the lender, not the borrower. So that's teaching us how to lend not just thousands of dollars, but maybe lend yourself. And it's a matter of constant corrections. When I hold this thing here, I have to constantly move my right hand, even though I'm looking here. If I don't make any course corrections, I'm not going to have a balanced dollar sign. So today I want to talk. I talked about debt last week. Today I would like you to talk about your extra. And you say, extra? You're kidding me. Honey, we should have just stayed home today. He's talking about our extra money. And a lot of us believe that we don't have any extra. I mean, you know, somebody from India would believe we probably got some extra. Don't raise your hand, because I'm not going to embarrass you. And then this is, I know we take the offering at the end of the service. It was really cute. Somebody, I preached against credit the other day, and somebody came up to me after church Sunday morning and said, "What's this deal? You're preaching about a credit, and you can give to the church on a credit card." So I said, "Just shut up and leave me alone." No, I didn't. And the truth is that I got a credit card, put everything on it, pay it off every month. So I'm not, this is not crazy. I'm not going nuts on you here. But it's the extra. And you think, I don't have any extra. And that's our mindset. And those of you, I don't like Starbucks coffee. Those of you that have a Starbucks habit, how many know you've got extra? I go to Liberty Market. I don't want to say every day, but almost every day. And when I can't go there, I get so confused during the day because I don't know how to go to anywhere except from Liberty Market. I can get to anywhere in town. And if you've gone to a movie in the last 2 weeks, I hear The Shack is a great movie. I've not seen it. So if you've not seen it, you ought to take some of your extra and go to a movie. I tell you, when I really feel rich, when I really feel like I've got extra, I went to India one time and Calcutta, and my word, I could tell you stories. Matter of fact, for probably 5 years after visiting Calcutta, I could not tell stories without almost vomiting. The smell. You can see pictures and you can hear sounds, but you can't smell the place. And I thought, oh my word. And I'm here for 2 weeks, and I had a whole new appreciation for flying on a jet and living indoors and having cars. Now, let me just confess this up front. I have extra. My wife and I, two people live in our house, and we live in a five-bedroom house with three bathrooms. My wife and I live by ourselves, and we have four cars. And we need them. It's not extra. I just bought, and I got it cheap. I have to tell the story of how cheap I got it so people don't think of a Jaguar Vanderplas. My brother-in-law bought it new, or his company did. They went broke. He lost it, and they were going to throw it away. And I said, I'll take it. And I drove it home from California. And so I'm not downing anybody for having extra. I think there's ways to think about extra. Okay, you ready for this? Who knows anybody with an extra house? The house they live in and an extra one for where they don't live. Now, this summer, my wife and I acquired an extra house because it's so hot here with air conditioning. And so we bought a place in Munns Park. We call it our cabin. It's really a mobile home. So I understand extra. So I'm not preaching against having extra. We all do. Some of us just won't admit it, and some of it, but I really feel like I have extra when I'm around really, really poor people. And today I want to talk to us about how to think about your extra. Being well aware, I'm not trying to brag and rich and all that kind of stuff. I'm not trying to brag. I'm trying to let you know that I'm not just down on extra stuff. This is not about a poor mentality, and if you've got money, you should be ashamed of yourself, and how can you have any money when there's poor people in the world? But here's some things about extra. Now, number one, in your bulletin, it's almost impossible to see greed in the mirror. To the rank and file here, if you hear the next week's pastor's preaching on greed, you could say, honey, let's just stay home and enjoy breakfast in bed, and because he's preaching on greed, and God knows we don't have enough to be greedy with. Don't raise your hand, but who would ever thought that? And if I ask you, who's greedy? Not many, and truthfully speaking, would raise your hand and say, I am. I had a good friend one time, and he said, I am greedy. I just love money. And it threw me back so much, I didn't know what to say. And I said, I can't say that I love it, but we are dating. How many of you know what I'm talking about? We're going out. I'm not in love with money, and we're going to talk about that next week, but it's impossible to see greed in the mirror. And so Jesus tells a story, and the interesting thing is he tells this story that were to people who were poor. If you live indoors and eat every day, you are among the world's richest. If you own your own house and drive a car, you are way into the world's riches. Jesus is talking to people who were living in Israel at the time under Roman occupation. These guys were virtually slaves, had nothing. And so Jesus is talking to this crowd, and in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, let's start reading there. He said to them, watch out. Be on your guard. Be careful. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. He said, be careful, guys. What? Be on guard against greed. Are you kidding? We're so poor we can't pay attention. Against greed? We're virtually slaves ourselves. And Jesus says, because the abundance, life does not consist in the abundance of your possession. And anybody hearing that, that hears that life is more than about money, would say, well, of course. We would all agree to that. Life is about a whole lot more than money. And so, yes, so when the minister says that, or when Jesus would say that, amen, that's right. And the truth of it is, but the God's truth is, most of us choose a career out of high school, out of college, based on how much money you're going to earn. You may like the profession, you may tolerate it, but if you're earning enough money, just in 40 years, you can retire with a great retirement. And I think it's nuts. I think it's nuts. Robert Kiyosaki, who's an investor, writes a lot of books, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He said that people who do what they really have a passion to do will end up making more money than people that don't. And so life doesn't consist in just the abundance of things possessed. And let's go to verse 16. He told them this parable. So he tells a 2,000-year-old parable that I've heard many times. And when I read it this one time, it dawned on me. This is a great sermon for those of you that never heard great ones. Just wanted you to know you're going to hear a great one when you get to this one. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man, produced a good crop. The ground produced that this guy was already rich. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my extra. What am I going to do with my extra? Have you heard comedians talk about rich people problems? If your problems involve your pool, your landscaper, your second house, if your problems involve that, you've got rich people problems. My children just texted me. They're in Long Beach this morning going on a cruise with their entire family. They've got rich people problems. Mike and Jenny. It's cute. Mike and Jenny, they left yesterday morning to drive to L.A., go to the beach, and then getting on a cruise today. And Joanna, Jeff's still here. He's got to work on Sunday now, by the way. So Joanna took the kids, and her mom lives in there. And so they didn't plan on it. They just left on a Saturday morning and met each other in Blythe at McDonald's. It's amazing who you'll meet at McDonald's if you just stay there long enough. And so he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. See, and I don't think you would think that's a good problem to have. It's a paradigm issue that the assumption is my extra is for me. Well, of course it is. I don't know what I'm going to do with all these crops. I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. I don't know what to do with all these extra. Look, number two, we often fall prey to consumption assumptions. It's for me now or me later. See, savers are real. Oh, yeah, you got to be careful. I'm going to consume this now, or I'm going to save it, and I'm going to consume it later. But it's still mine. It's still about me. It's still about me and my family. Who's ever thought, those of us that were raised poor, and I can't say poverty, but we were raised poor. It had dawned on me when I was about 10 years old and got my first paper out, if I ever wanted any money, I was going to have to earn it because I knew my family didn't have any. We used fence posts for a bat when we played ball at home. And so I didn't cognitively think that. But it dawned on me, if I wanted to play the pinball machines and buy candy and pop, I was going to have to earn my own money. And so I did. Went to deliver in the Arizona Republic and the Phoenix Gazette in Casa Grande way back in the day. But it dawned on me that I was going to have to earn it. But it's the way we look at money. It's for me now, or in my retirement, or in when I'm not earning the money that I am, and I need a nest egg. And I'm not against any of that. I have one. I have a nest egg. But the mentality is that it's for me now or for me later. And it's not for me. I'm going to give to my children what my folks were never financially able to give to me. I'm going to give to my grandchildren, and I'm going to set them up, and I'm going to pay for college, and I'm going to this. But the truth of it is, it's all about me and my children and my grandchildren. And if I plan this right, I can plan for Geese's and or Garcia's for about three generations that they never have to stretch out for anything, because this is about, I'm going to build extra barns, and what I can't eat, they will. And therein lies the consumption assumption. That what you have is about you. For those that rise to a place of authority, of power, of prominence, maybe of prestige, that you can say, finally, I don't have to put up with this, that, or the other, and now I'm moving up the ladder, I'm moving up the food chain, and so it's about time that I get what I, and the truth of it is, it's not about you. And consumption assumption is the assumption that what I have is to be consumed by me now or later. Verse 13, this is back to the story that Jesus is telling. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. See, the assumption is just the extras for me. You know, God, remember I bought you off. I gave that 10%. Remember, you're out of the, you know, I paid you off. And in one sense, you're saying, wait a minute, you know, it's good investment to reinvest your profits back in your business, back in your company, instead of taking your profits and saying, okay, I'm going to eat them. No, reinvest them. Make money on top of money. It's not a bad business model. But Jesus was not that thrilled about it. He's talking about this guy's attitude. And again, he's telling a parable, so he's not exaggerating, but he's telling, not a hyperbole, but it's just explaining this thing. And number three, Jesus called the rich man a fool because he didn't understand why he had extra. Look at verse 20. But God said to him, you fool. Fool? How many know his Jesus audience would have been a bit perplexed? Because this rich guy was going to the Christian breakfast clubs and talking about how to make money, how to get rich. And everyone else said, wow, what a smart guy, reinvesting his money and doing this. Oh, man. And so when God called him a fool, what? See, it was funny. Now, it's not true nowadays, but in those days, they believed that all the money came from God, and if you had a bunch of it, you had to have gotten it from God, and so you were enjoying God's blessing. And then if you didn't have a boatload of money, then what's wrong with you? You just don't have any faith. Maybe you didn't say the right words. Maybe there's a secret sin going on because wealth is the standard of God's approval. And nothing could be further from the truth. Good preaching, Pastor. Well, thank you. I appreciate the encouragement. And he says, you fool. He says, you know, dude, you bought the lie that life consists in the abundance of things that you possess. You bought the lie. You're spending your whole life trying to accumulate. And what I've learned over my short life, whatever you have is all you need, is just a little bit more. Isn't it true? Another few percentage points and you would have been there. Another little deal, and the next deal, and you would have finally, where we can breathe easy, honey. This guy bought the lie that his life was about how much he possessed. Now, I'm not eating it all now. I'm going to put it in the fridge for later. I'm going to put it in a retirement. I've got a retirement. I'm not against any of that. I'm really attacking a mindset of a consumption assumption. Number four. Let me read. This very night, your life will be demanded of you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? Jesus says, you fool. This very night, your soul is required of you. Your life is required of you. And then who's going to get what you've prepared? See, what he had went to somebody else. Not because he was generous, not because he gave it, but because he was dead. But every one of us, one of these days, whatever it is you got is all going to somebody else. And we all hope it goes to the right places and we think about that. And who knows any kids that have been ruined by their parents' finances? Got a boatload of money when they were 18, 20 years old and just ruined their lives. How would you like to do that to your grandkids? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You gave them so much it ruined their lives? And that's what Jesus is talking about. He says, who's going to get what you had? Now, this is good to number four. Most of us will run out of time before we run out of money. Most people run out of, Americans anyway, we run out of time before we run out of money. That's why we plan. That's why I'm planning way down. Because I don't want to run out of money before I run out of time. Not against any of that. We run out of time before we run out of money. And look what Jesus says about this guy. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up for himself, but, and it's a big but is not rich toward God. This guy's life was a total loss. Remember in Matthew 5, Jesus says, don't call anybody a fool. Because in that terminology, the word fool had such huge implications. It was not, you're kind of a dumb guy or you act silly. No. It was, you have no value. Jesus says this guy's life was a total loss. How would you like your last breath? And everyone said, boy, he had a good year last year. Did you see those barns he built? Man, it was a total loss. What a tragedy that would be. because he was rich in this world's goods, and nothing wrong with that. I'm not bragging, but I'm not against money. I'm really not. But was rich with this world's goods, but not rich toward God. Well, what do you mean? So it's just too many verses to read. Verses 22 through 31, Jesus talks about, don't worry about your money. How much you're going to, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to live. He says, God will take care of this. Solomon and all of his stuff was not arrayed as beautiful as one of these flowers are. The birds of the air, they don't have any, but God takes care of them. And he says, God's going to care for you. So don't spend your life chasing that my life consists with the abundance of things that man possesses. The truth of it is, the guy that dies with the most toys doesn't win. So you're making me feel guilty, Pastor, because I got stuff. I drive a newer car. I'm not after that. And how do you think about your extra? When you get promoted and have some prestige, what do you do with that? You can either say, finally, now you SOBs go do what I say, or you can use that and leverage people up with it. It's either for you or it's for somebody else. Are you with me still? Number five, what we do with our extra reflects and controls our heart. Whoa. It's a bold statement, Delmer, I know it. Thought about it before I wrote it down. Thought long and hard about it before I wrote it down. What we do with our extra reflects and controls our heart. Jesus, after talking, I'm not taking anything out of context, is what I'm trying to say. Verse 32, he says, don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Most of us are scared to death that God's going to take some of our money. Afraid to go to church when they're talking about money and all that because the preacher's going to get us and he's going to make us give up. No, 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 no. The truth of it is, it's all his anyway. And the truth of it is, he doesn't need it. It wouldn't go with his, your clothing would not go with what he wears. You think your house is nice, you want to see his. And the truth of it is, it's his anyway. And if he wanted it, he didn't have to ask you to get it. Remember that part of the sermon a couple weeks ago? God says, no, 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 no. Okay, Lord, I'll give it to you. God says, wow, finally I have access to it. God's not bashful. If he wants it, he'll take it. Truth of it is, he didn't want it. God didn't want your money, didn't want your money to have you. He doesn't need it. So look what he says in verse 33. Sell your possessions. You're kidding me. Not my stuff. No! He didn't say all of it. I make a little confession here. When I was 12 years old, God called me to ministry. Really did. Had a wonderful camp experience. And then I noticed something wrong in my life, 13 and 14. I start thinking girls were pretty. Before then, they'd always been in the way. They couldn't run as fast. They couldn't play football as good. They couldn't hit the baseball as far. But all of a sudden, when the little boy hit 12, 13 years, 14 years old, I thought, it doesn't matter. If they can't run fast, it's just nice to watch them run. And so, sorry. Just easy. Oh, I can't tell that story. My grandkids would kill me. My kids were at the cabin the other day, and they were watching TV. We don't have cable, but we have broadcast TV. And Baywatch, remember Baywatch was on, and one of the girls was running down the beach, and one of my grands says, yeah, I like that. So we had a long prayer meeting, and he still thought that when the movie was done or whatever. Anyway, and so I prayed a lot and that I wouldn't feel this way, but I tell you, the older I got, 15, 16, 17, I felt more that way. And so you get committed to Jesus. And I was afraid to say yes to Jesus because there was real ugly girls around. And I was afraid God was going to send me to Africa with the ugliest girl in the church. Now, that's funny now, but when you're 16 years old, it's not. And I was raised in the Pentecostal crowd. TMI, I'm sure. Where girls didn't shave their legs. Some of them did, some of them didn't. But you could always tell when they put on nylons, their hair would just stick against their legs. And this girl didn't. I thought, oh, my word, Jesus, don't send me to Africa with her. And when I finally said yes to Jesus, I was willing to go to Africa with old what's-her-name and didn't have to do it after all. So when you say sell your possessions, all of us are going to think, oh, my car, I really like it. God didn't want your cars. He didn't want him to have you. I know this is, see, that 16-year-old stuff is just funny because it's we all remember those days. But then when Jesus says, sell your possessions, and he's not, and give them to the poor. Some people, especially evangelicals, don't even like poor people because they think they ought to work harder. And if you just go to work like I did, you wouldn't be poor. It's not true. It's a reflection of your heart, but it's a reflection and it's a guidance of your heart. So what did Jesus say? Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted. See, the market's up real high right now, and we're all happy about it. And Jesus says, provide purses, provide income that doesn't wear out, that doesn't go broke with the market crash. Provide treasures in heaven that don't get eaten up with inflation. They don't actually lose value the longer you have them. Where no thief comes in to near, or no moth to destroy. See, God says the pathway to rich, to be rich in God, is sell your possessions. It's like dedicating children. We made the joke a couple weeks ago. When you dedicate your children, you can't leave them at the church. We're not set up for that. Take them home. You sell everything you have, you got to come live at the church, and we're not set up for that. Don't do that. Jesus says, here's how you get rich toward God. Somebody said you can't take it with you, you got to send it ahead. And again, I'm not talking about giving money to Life Community. What do you do with your extra? They're not touching my money. You're talking $10, $20 maybe. You're talking the price of a movie ticket. So you have something that's extra. Is that for you to eat now or later? Or maybe you start blessing people, not with hundreds of thousands or even hundreds, but with something of extra that you have to people who are poor. You know, there are folks in the church here that give every year for kids to go to camp. They don't have any teenagers, don't have any kids or grandkids that age. But every time we need some help to go to camp, there's three or four people we pick out and say, could you help them? And every year, see, it's their extra. Providing something for kids that don't have it. And I think we all know people like that. See, I don't think it's the church's place to provide you with extra to give. I think in the people you work with, and the people that you know, I think that's where generosity really happens. Again, I know we're taking an offering in a minute. We're doing a second service, second Sunday offering. I'm not talking just about giving once a month. I'm talking about how you view your extra. Jesus said it's the pathway to be rich. I would hate to breathe my last. And people say, what a waste. You fool. You idiot. That you really thought life consisted on how many extra cars you could have or how many extra houses you could amass. He says, you fool. Sell your possessions. Give it to the poor. And in doing that, what you provide is purses that don't wear out. Treasure in heaven. Number six, my checkbook will answer the question, am I afflicted with consumption assumption? I can get up here and say lovely words, prepared sermons, prepared speeches, all that kind of stuff. But the true test of whether I'm afflicted with consumption assumption is my checkbook. What I do with my extra. What I do with my stuff. And I've got extra stuff. But if you really believe it's all about you, and it's for you now or for you later, nothing really changes out of that. I want to talk to us next week. Paul said, I've learned to be content. And I don't want to go there yet, but we'll get there next week. You really don't have to listen to what I say. You just follow my treasure. For younger people, maybe it's money. For those of us that have been around a while, it's a matter of time. What do I do with my time? I'm not worried about getting old, and I don't think I got this problems and all that kind of stuff. I tell you what, but people run out of time before they run out of money. So what am I going to do with my extra? Not against retirement. If you're retired, I'm not down on that. I'm not against any of that stuff. But the time and the energy and the ability that God's given to me, if I think it's about me, how terrible of a life that is. And then when I run out of it, God's going to give it to somebody else and say, we'll see how they do with it. And they run out of time, God will give it to somebody else. And God will say, let's see what they do with it. How do you think about your extra? How does that process in your mind? That maybe to understand that God's really blessed you, so you can lift somebody else up. You can really open the doors for somebody that would not have happened, had an open door without you. I'm just saying, if you can make it through this life without being afflicted with consumption assumption, then you'll see the world way differently than what's in it for me. That it's all about me. And how will this affect me? And let it just make me look. We come from a culture that is so concerned for self-image. We're all so self-conscious. And no offense, but what a loss. What a loss that could have been for your neighbors. For those people that are absolutely desperate for relationships. Those of us that are relatively gifted and talented and skilled, it's not to secure our own place. See, that's the last screen put it up there. What I do with my extra is an indicator of whether or not I believe that my life consists of the abundance of my possessions. What I do with my extra is an indicator of whether or not I bought the lie. And it's all about me, for me. I'm not going to do a show of hands. I think it would be fun to go home by yourself today with your spouse, however you work all that out. And figure out how much money you made last year. And then figure out how much you gave away. Do not report it. We're not going to ask for a show of hands. See, and those of us that go through quite a bit of money, the amount can look impressive. Whoa. Whoa. Delbert, whoa. And God isn't at all concerned about the amount, but He is the percentage. For those of you that are raising families, let me tell you right now, when your kids get out and grown and eat on their own, you're going to save tons of money. When you're not paying for teenage insurance anymore, you're not trying to feed those grown kids, those taters, you're going to have extra money. So amount is not the issue I'm talking about. In your own mind, what percentage? You got to write that down just so that you can see it, no one else. And could I be so forthright? To say you'll probably be embarrassed. The average American gives 2% of their income until they're elected to a political office, then it goes up. See, it's what am I going to do with my extra? I know this is not exactly a salvation message, but if you're here and you've never opened your life to Christ, why don't you do that right now? Pastor, you're going to make me sell all I've got. No, I'm not. I've not sold all I've got. To be a world-class Christian, to lead a church who are world-class Christians, that's what I've got to be myself. So if you've never opened your life to Christ, why don't you do that right this morning? Say something in your own words and say, Jesus, come in. I need your help. I believe that you died and rose again for me. So I accept the salvation you have to bring. Why don't you do that while I pray for you? Heavenly Father, thank you for these good people who have so patiently listened to me. Father, I pray in Jesus' strong name that our extra would not lead to a total loss. That we would learn to be rich toward God in our actions, in our relationships, in our attitudes toward people who have less than we do, toward the poor. I pray that in Jesus' strong name. Amen.